Tracy McKenzie thinks her biggest dilemma is figuring out if Charlie is still her best friend until her little brother comes home and says Jason, a boy in his second grade class, is now Jessica. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you guys are staying at home, staying safe, and making sure you protect yourself and your families as we all deal with the pandemic of COVID-19. You know, when I was planning this show, I had did some research about a month before time because I knew we were going to be talking about this very hot topic about transgender, gender identity, gender roles, things of that nature. I knew we were going to be talking about it. And I still wasn't quite prepared for it. And so I was like, okay, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. And literally, it's been a fascinating thing to discuss and talk with other people about it. So I do hope you join me in the conversation as we talk about this through the vehicle of fiction, written by my good friend Ellie Clipp. You may remember her when I had her on my show before, where she wrote a book talking about this for young people. Called I Don't Have to Choose. It was a wonderful book, got a lot of response from people. Now she's back again with Choosing. It's a young adult book about this subject of transgender, gender roles, identity, things of that nature. You can get it on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. It's making waves too, guys. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. I am so excited to tell you that my newest release is coming out April 21st. And some of you know April 21st is my birthday, so I'm very excited about that. You can get Eva, which is book one of my new historical sweet romance series called Hearts of South Dakota. It is a series dedicated to my love for Dutch culture, which I learned from an old Harlequin romance writer named Betty Neal. She used to write very chaste books for Harlequin back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I was so inspired by her books that I started to learn everything I could about Dutch culture, and I wanted to incorporate that into my stories during the historical period. So I'm excited to share that with you. You can pre-order a copy of Eva, Hearts of South Dakota, on Amazon.com, and then it's going to drop in your Kindle on April 21st. So I'm looking forward to your response. I hope you like it. Many of you have already picked up the pre-order, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the support. As always, if you want to call in and weigh in, you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right. Stop with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world, comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. we apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. Like I said before the break, I hope you're staying at home, staying safe, and protecting your loved ones. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast by going to blog.pjcmedia.net, and that way you can always be updated on when our next show is. And so we are talking today to Ellie Clipp. She is the author of Choosing, a book that takes on the topic of transgender from a Christian worldview and also gives you some information you may not have known. So go ahead and pick up your copy of Choosing today, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Ellie Clipp. Ellie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Ellie, thank you so much for coming back. Thank you so much for coming back. And it is gorgeous outside. I walked my dog earlier before the show. Walked my dog, had a good time. I actually walked very slow. I just wanted to enjoy the weather. I did not want to be back in the house again because some of us are going stir crazy. But I walked the dog, smelt the fresh air, and looked at the green things growing. And there are people who I probably before COVID would never have spoken to. And now I'm waving to everybody, not because of anything weird, just, you know, how you try to just hurry, go on with your life, you know. And I was speaking to people I didn't know. It was so much fun, but I was still, you know, practicing social distancing. So we're actually screaming across fences and things of that nature. But we had a good time just talking to each other and really love the human interaction. So, yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. And I hope some of you are enjoying that beautiful day as well. So, Ellie, once again, thank you for being with us again. I want to have you talk about yourself because I could always read your bio. That really doesn't tell us who you are. Go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words.
Well, I am basically a grandma. I was a school teacher and a mom. And, of course, that stretched over many years. And then I thought I was retired. And the grandbabies were here. And then I read about the little boy who thought he was a girl. And I was so upset. I said, somebody should do something. And that, of course, is how I kept saying somebody, and I felt that God was saying, excuse me. And so that's how I Don't Have to Choose, the book for little kids, came about. And I wanted to mention that I Don't Have to Choose, which basically has the message that God made you either as a boy or a girl, and it's a wonderful thing. And that does not limit what you can do. As a boy or a girl, you can like all different kinds of activities and express yourself in all different ways. But that book is now in English, Spanish, French, German, and as of 3 weeks ago, with very interesting timing, Mandarin Chinese.
I think that's absolutely wonderful.
That was very interesting because I'm hoping that right now Chinese-speaking people throughout the world might be thinking a little bit, feeling maybe a little more vulnerable. And I Don't Have to Choose says God made you. And that's something they need to think about and then start thinking about the God of the Bible. So hopefully that will have more than one good result. And then I was basically having a wonderful time being a grandma and working on our little ranch. And Dr. Grutella, who is the head of the American College of Pediatricians, kept saying to me, you know, we need a novel for middle schoolers and high schoolers because they will not read all the articles out there which would help them understand the scientific basis of their biology, that their gender is their biological sex. There's not two things there. That's one thing. Gender is biological sex. It's not a different entity. And so she kept telling me this, and I kept saying, that's right, that's right. And every time I would run into a mother of teens or a teacher, a middle school teacher, a high school teacher, I'd say, you know, we really need someone to write this novel. You should write this novel. And after 2 years of not getting a response, one night I sat down at the computer. Now, if you're going to write a novel, you should have a plot outline, you should have a cast of characters, you should analyze how you're going to bring in the different issues. I did not have a clue. I sat down at the computer and I picked a girl's name and I wrote Tracy. And then I just started writing. And I thought, I know what high school kids talk like. I taught those kids and I had those kids and I just started writing. And before I knew it, every night I would make myself, well, 5 or 6 nights a week, sit down and I'd say I have to write at least 3 pages. Some nights it was really hard to crank out 3 pages, and other nights my fingers were flying and 6 pages were easy. But the book began to write itself. Characters began to pop out of the computer. I hadn't planned them, and there they were, and they had their own personalities. And something I wrote on page 17 fit perfectly with a plot development on page 130, and I hadn't planned that out. And I really think God helped me write this book. I take full credit for all the mistakes and inadequacies, but really I give thanks to the Lord, because I don't know how I wrote it. It just kind of wrote itself. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun to write. So,
well, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense that it will happen because God already used you in a small thing, which was getting something as complex and as volatile and emotional as transgender and gender identity into a compact resource for parents to use with their children in I Don't Have to Choose. And there was a review I pulled up online from the Christian Medical and Dental Association, and it's a review of Reinforcing Children's Sexual Identity, a review of Ellie Clips, I Don't Have to Choose. And the reviewer makes a statement of how, you know, you have the drag queen hour that was at the libraries. You have people doing a lot of trans ideology in front of children. And then your book comes along and parents can grasp that book, I Don't Have to Choose. And what's so interesting, Ellie, as you think back on it, when you answered the call that God gave to you, did you ever think your book translated into all these different languages because you were obedient to the calling? And I know there are parents out there who need to know this information, need to have this information because they need to talk to their kids about it, you know. And real quickly, I just want to read a quick paragraph from the review from the Christian Medical and Dental Association about your review. He talks about the trans ideology. Then he says, enter Ellie Clips, I Don't Have to Choose, which is available in several languages. And he talks about how the children, Alexander and Alexis, Alex for short for both of them, and how they can do the same activities, do the same things, and they go on further. And the most trusted line you say is when mom and dad is looking at ultrasound, the girl says, I'm a girl because God put 2 XX chromosomes in each of my cells. Hooray, I don't have to choose. A similar affirmation is there for Alex, and this is rock solid scientific reality for 99.98% of children. And so he also goes on to say the 0.2%, 0.02% allowance is for children with disorders of sex development. He goes on and on and on. But right there, you took this massive topic that people get so emotional about, get so upset and get on their soapboxes, and you just condensed it into, guess what? I don't have to choose because God already did it for me. He made me this way. That takes the load off of me. If you think about it, it takes the load off of me. And now you followed it up with teenagers with choosing, where you take this concept and make it even bigger. So it goes back to my earlier question. Did you ever think you'd be doing this? And I would be hesitate. I would not hesitate to say probably not, you know. And now it's out in several different languages. How does that make you feel because of being obedient to God's calling?
Well, actually, I'm pretty surprised by it all. And I don't feel any different really than I did before. Just I'm pretty much in the unknown, and that's the way I like things. But what happened with the translations was, first of all, here in the area where I live, there are a lot of Hispanics, and people came to me and said, we need this in Spanish. And I said, well, that'd be great, but I really, you know, I say, yo tengo hambre, and that's about it. I really don't speak Spanish. And they said, okay, but we need it in Spanish. Well, we found somebody who was a native of Mexico and also a citizen of the U.S. and speaks excellent English and Spanish, and he translated it. And then, and actually he's translated several more of them also now. I have another book out called The Rainbow's Not Flat, because I got a little upset last year during Pride Week, because that flag that the LGBT activists show is not the rainbow, and they should not call it the rainbow. God's rainbow is curved, and it has seven colors, and it represents God's truth. And so that LGBT flag is a warping of God's truth. So at any rate, I did a little book which starts with Noah and all the many cute animals, because that's what kids want to see, the pictures of the cute animals. But then it goes into the arch and the grand curves in the sky and what it means, and talks about holy God loves us and so on. So that was, and he translated that into Spanish too. Then people came and said, look at Canada. The situation in Canada is terrible. And of course in Europe, in France. But Canada is pushing the transgender idea at the kids. We need this book in French. And I said, well, that'd be great. But, you know, I certainly don't have money to hire translators, and I don't speak French. Well, a head of a pro-life group up in Canada, and another French-Canadian, and a native French speaker from Europe, and a lady from Belgian Congo got together, on the internet, of course, and together they translated it into French. They wanted to make sure that it wasn't regional to one area. And interestingly, the head of the group in Canada told me that the gal from Africa had the best French. So that was interesting. But at any rate, they got together, and all of them together translated it into French. Then one day I got an email from Austria, and the man said, I bought your book in London. We need it in German. And I thought, well, who's this? So I emailed back and I said, I don't speak German. And he said, fine, we'll translate it. And I thought, well, I don't know who this guy is. So I sent out a quick email to my friends. Anybody know anybody who really speaks German? Turned out there's a gal 10 minutes from me born and raised in Germany, taught German at Colorado University. The only thing is, she has 9 kids, so she probably wouldn't have. Yep, she and the guy from Austria worked together and translated, both wonderful Christians, translated it into German. Well, people had been telling me for 3 years that we needed it in Chinese. And I said, that's a great idea. In November, an editor from China, who is not a Christian, was visiting here. And I ran into a young gal who had just moved here, and she's Chinese. And my neighbors across the street, and she was not a believer, and my neighbors across the street, who are wonderful believers, are Chinese, and the four of them got together, and they translated it into Chinese. And there you have it. Volunteers, people who said, whether even ones who were not believers, but they said, we need this message for the kids. This is for the kids. And so they volunteered their time and translated this little book. And that's how the translations came about. We actually have it also translated, and that's a whole other story, into Brazilian Portuguese. We are waiting to publish it until we have an endorsement from somebody whom Brazilians would recognize as a spiritual leader. So if any of you know someone like that, please let Parker know, and she can let me know, and we can get that one out. But then we came to the problem of choosing. One of the problems with choosing was we had to discuss all the different issues, but kids are not going to read a lecture. So it had to be a story. So it's a story about a high school girl, her 7-year-old brother, and her 2 years older high school brother. She's a freshman, he's a junior, and their various friends. And it had to bring in the issues of what is gender? What is gender identity? What is gender expression? What is SOGI, social orientation and gender identity? And then you mentioned, Parker, intersex, better known as, because intersex is a misnomer, there is no such thing as intersex, disorders of sex development. Because if we don't bring it up, the kids will. They have been told there are people who are part male and part female, or sort of in between, or all on a spectrum. And maybe you're a girl who's really more male, or a boy who's really more female, or you might be in the wrong body. What does this mean? And these were all the issues we had to go into and had to unpack. No, you are absolutely male, or you are absolutely female. Even the less than 1% of people who have a disorder of sex development are still male or female. They may have some kind of mix-up in their genitals or in their chromosomes, but they are still male or female. They're not part of one and part of the other. And so we talk about a spectrum within male. And within that spectrum of being male, you may be a very macho male, or you may be a male who prefers to stay home quietly and work on stamp collections. Or you may be a very macho male who does stamp collections. Think of Rosie Grier, NFL football player, 280 pounds, something like that, doing cross-stitch on airplanes. And nobody better say to Rosie Grier, that's a feminine activity. And girls, the same way. You may have a girl who's a very girly girl and another girl who prefers to be out digging ditches and playing flag football. you know, they're both absolutely girls, because there is a whole spectrum of expression of your gender within female, and in the other group, a whole spectrum within the male category. But there isn't a crossover. We're either male or female. And all of these issues, gender identity, gender expression, which is how you express what you realize you are, and intersex, are woven gently into the story here and there. And the story has a lot of humor in it, because, you know.
Well, Ellie, let me stop you really quickly, because we do have to take a quick break, and I don't want you to get to the store to get back on the other side of the break. But for those of you listening in, we are talking to Ellie Clipp, and she is the author of Choosing, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Hope you go ahead and get your copy today. And maybe you can use this as a resource to talk to your children. And you can also use her other book, I Don't Have to Choose, which is geared toward the younger set of children, like your toddlers and your first and second graders, things of that nature. You can use that other book too. And that book has been translated into several languages, all by the grace of God and through wonderful, marvelous works that only He can do. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Choosing today. When we get back, we're going to delve more into Choosing, as Ellie was already giving us a precursor to what you can expect in reading Choosing. But we're also going to talk about some of the plots too as well. So if you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can call in at 646-668-8485 and press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Coe, hashtag right stuff, with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me. We are talking today to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Ellie Clipp. She is the author of Choosing, which is a young adult fiction novel, but it's talking about transgender, gender identity, gender roles, gender expression, and so much more. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And if you want to get a resource when it comes to trans ideology, go ahead and pick up I Don't Have to Choose, also by Ellie Clipp, which is a small children's book geared to helping you provide resources for your children to talk about this topic. And maybe it's for you too. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. Also available on Amazon.com. And through the grace of God, and translate it into German, Chinese, French, Spanish, and it's also in English. And who knows? It may be translated into more languages at some other point in time. Ellie, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Like I was telling you before the broadcast, because of the nature of this topic of transgender, when I was blasting it out to everyone, I only got like one response, because it's such a volatile topic. People have very
firm ideas that they want to express. Some people think it's not that big of a deal. You could be whatever you want to be. It doesn't matter. If you want to identify as this, you can. If you want to identify as this, you can. In fact, I remember I was watching Doctor Strange. They had, like, it was a movie, Doctor Strange, and they had clips from, like, behind the scenes. And one of the actors, she said, "I think gender is in the eye of the beholder," or something like that, she said. I may say it wrong. And I remember thinking, but is that really the case? You know, and then it comes down to this topic about, does truth really matter? You know, is it true that you're male or female? Is that true? I mean, is truth really a subjective reality, or is it based on objective reality? You know what I'm saying? And so these things become extremely important when you talk about this topic, and it's so volatile that people just did not want to respond. So I'm glad to give people who are listening a chance to listen and hear your thoughts about it. And, well, I shouldn't say our thoughts, actually. It's what God says. Whether we agree with it or not, it really doesn't matter. You know what I mean, Ellie? What are your thoughts about
right.
that? Correct me where I'm wrong.
No, that's absolutely right. God made us, and he made us as male or female. And one part of the book that goes into this is Tracy's mother happens to be a student nurse. She's learning to be a nurse. So this is very helpful because she knows all the information that a lot of moms would not have, the scientific answers for things. But this mom is in the middle of studying all this biology and chemistry and so on to become a nurse. So they're talking one day about gender because Tracy is trying to figure it out. She's trying to learn because kids at school are exactly saying, well, you can change your gender. Maybe you're not really a girl. Maybe you're not really a boy. And they bring up the case of Jazz, you know, that now he is a teenager. He says he's a girl, but he's still a boy. When he was a youngster, he said that he was a girl, and so his parents began dressing him as a girl and treating him as a girl, and eventually he took the puberty blockers and then the sex hormones, and now he's had surgeries, and it's a very sad case. In fact, Dr. Michael Laidlaw has a critique you can research on the internet on Jazz. Laidlaw is Laidlaw. It's a very good article on the whole case of this boy called Jazz who says he's a girl. But at any rate, that's brought up in the book. And the kids are saying, well, what does this mean? And so Tracy's trying to figure it out. And she goes to her mom, and her mom starts talking to her about it. And they get into the discussion of the so-called man in England a year or two ago, and this has happened more than once, has a baby. See, the man had a baby. And her mom says, do you think that's possible? And Tracy says, well, no, but all the kids said, and you know how that is, all the kids say. So they start to talk about it. And her mom says, all the news stories claimed it was true. The problem is they were talking about someone who looked like a man but was really a woman. You see, the man who got pregnant was a woman who pretended to be a man by cutting her hair in a man's style, wearing man's clothes, and even taking hormones that caused her to grow a beard and caused her voice to deepen. But she was still a woman. She still had a vagina, ovaries that produced eggs, and a uterus, which, you know, is where the baby grows inside the mother. Now, this woman who claimed to be a man is called a transgender man or a trans man, but a trans man is still a biological female. The problem is that we have about 30 trillion cells in our bodies, and each of these cells has 46 chromosomes, and one pair, the 23rd pair, is the sex cell. the one that has the sex chromosomes. And if you have an X and a Y in that 23rd pair, you're a male. And if you have an X and an X, you're a female. And no matter, we can use sex hormones to flavor our appearance and the way we sound so that your voice can deepen and you can grow a beard, but you can't change a single one of the chromosomes inside your cells. So a woman is still a woman, even if she takes the hormones, the sex hormones, the testosterone, to make her sound and look more like a man. What's really sad is that young people who are confused about this, who have gender dysphoria, say a girl who's 15 and thinks she's really a boy, because at the age of 13, 14, 15, some girls are not too happy with starting to have periods and with other aspects, maybe cultural aspects of what goes on with being a girl, especially depending on the culture they are in. And so they would really prefer to have been a boy. And they think maybe they really are a boy and they can change that. And so they start taking these, well, puberty blockers should be taken earlier, and they are, unfortunately, as early as 7 now, although they shouldn't be taken until 11 or 12, and they should never be taken, because what happens is it stunts your sexual development and you never develop into the individual that you would have been as a mature person. But if they start taking the puberty blockers and then take the sex hormones and they make these changes in their body, and then later they realize this did not solve whatever anxiety and unhappinesses were causing them to think they were in the wrong body. And so they want to go back to being what is their actual sex, their born sex, their biological sex.
Allie, let me interrupt you right here.
Because the damage that they've done to their bodies by using cross-sex hormones.
Let me interrupt you right here, because you just brought up a point that I want to discuss really quickly. Because I know these things are in choosing, and I'm glad you're having such an open and frank discussion about it. I was looking at a video probably sometime last year, maybe about six, seven months ago, something like that, and it was talking about these three people who said, I want my sex back. And one of these people, who he actually had the sex change and everything to live as a man to a woman, and he said, I lived as a woman for 8 years. And one of the things that he said, it did not solve the problem. He said, at first, it was like, okay, I'm a woman now. I think he named himself Linda, something like that. And then he said, all of a sudden, after 8 years, it did not satisfy what he was looking for. It did not become his, it wasn't a solution. And then he said he ended up getting his sex change back to what it was. Another gentleman in that video also did the same thing, but he also changed back. One gentleman who looks like a female now, because he got it done many, many years ago, he said, I stay this way as an example only to show people you need to really consider what you're doing. He said, because at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. Like, you think I look this way on the outside, but you still have these problems. And I think that's a very good point to bring out, because in my reading of people who've done this, at first they're okay. Like, okay, I'm feeling better by myself. This is who I am. And then later on down the line, they realize that it only was a Band-Aid to something deeper inside of them, you know? So my next question is, why is it so important for parents to have these kind of discussions? Some parents just want to avoid it because it's such a sticky topic for some people, because some of us do believe in autonomy. You know, we believe in self-autonomy. You should do what you want to do, whatever you want to do, nor should they what to do. I get that. Okay. But then you just said, regardless as to how you flavor yourself, like making yourself get a deeper voice or, physical characteristics, things of that nature, you are still biologically male and still biologically female. biologically. There's nothing you can do to change that. Why is that so significant to the conversation? How can parents really grasp the significance of that?
Well, for one thing, kids need to realize the consequences of experimenting with their bodies and dosing their bodies with the opposite sex hormones, that this is not something that you can play with. It's serious. There are serious consequences to your health for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you will be suffering from health issues that came from this, because our bodies were not made to be, it's like putting diesel in a regular car. It gums up the works, and you can never quite reclaim the car to its original state. So the kids need to realize that this has serious physical consequences. But the other thing that parents need to realize is there are a couple of different mechanisms working here. One is, what is the underlying issue that is causing this young person to have a dissatisfaction with themselves? Is it a family dynamic that's not working properly? Is it another psychological issue that they need to address? And then the other thing is, the other factor that's working is peer pressure. A lot of kids are going into this because on the internet, they got slipped and pulled into a group that was pushing this, especially girls. And there's something called ROGD, which is rapid onset gender dysphoria. It's almost like catching smallpox or catching measles. It's almost contagious. It's a psychological contagion. It becomes something they're pulled into. And what they don't realize is there is a whole world out there composed of people in a group called trans regret. You were talking about some of this. Walt Heyer, his last name is spelled H-E-Y-E-R. You can look up Walt Heyer, H-E-Y-E-R. He has a website. He has a lot of books on this. There are just Google trans regret. You'll see a lot of teenagers saying, I'm so sorry I did this. I messed up my life. I messed up my body. And kids need to be aware. Parents need to be aware of this so they can say to the kids, look, I'm telling you this is God's truth. We're telling you that the science is God made us this way as male and female. But you also need to be aware, if you're pushing back on the science and pushing back on what mom and dad said, go and look at trans regret. Go and look at the physical ramifications of doing this, what it's going to do to your body.
Ellie, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, and I wanted to really emphasize that, because this stuff is also in choosing. And what you're doing so effectively is giving parents and those who are curious about this information that they can look up for themselves. And I always say that on the show. You don't have to take our word for it. You don't have to believe me. Look it up for yourself. I'm really big on about that. And in choosing,
I have to interrupt. I'm sorry. But I said exactly that. I said, kids are going to read this book and say, who is she? She's some old woman somewhere. Well, at the end of the book, for every chapter, you're reading the chapter and you say, she said what? Look at the end of the book. There are footnotes. Not footnotes. There are footnotes that direct you to the internet article or the printed article. Go look it up. Research it for yourself. It's not just Ellie Klipp said. I had to study this stuff from the experts. And by the way, this book was checked by 4 medical doctors who are experts in teen sexuality before it was published, because I wanted to make sure I didn't make any medical mistakes in it.
No, you're fine. I want to make sure that your words are spoken so people can understand it. And that's why I said, you know, check it out for yourself. You know, and I like the fact you gave footnotes because people can go and look it up for themselves. And that's the nice part about it. And actually, Watt Heyer was the gentleman I was thinking of. I thought his name was Gary. I don't know why I thought his name was Gary. But, yeah, it was Watt Heyer I was thinking about. And it just brings to mind this very volatile subject. And I know our listeners out there who may be listening, you know, find out the information for yourself. Look at what the other side of the coin is. You know, as you were talking, Ellie, earlier, you reminded me of a case I read while I was researching the show so I can make sure I can understand and, you know, conversate with you. A gentleman in Canada, his daughter wanted to become a boy, and the Canada state said, she wants to be a boy, that's basically her business, you know, and they basically took his rights away as a parent. He said, if she wants to do that, he thinks she should be older, not at 14. I think she was like 14 to 15. And
right.
He said, not at, you know, when she's an adult. And he said, basically, my daughter was mutilated. And he said, they said he can't talk about it, and they shut his voice down, everything you could think of. And then he ended up breaking the law in Canada to tell people, like, look, if my, what he said, when my daughter, 10, 12 years and now, changes her mind, he said, I want to be able to say I did everything I possibly could, you know.
Right.
And that's why I like that you said, you know, you make these decisions. You know, make sure you make the decisions having done all your research. You know, I mean, because nowadays they're telling you, you know, if you feel that way, go right ahead. But look at what other people have done, listen to their stories, think about it, you know. And like for parents, if your son or daughter is talking this way, find out what the root problem is, you know. And I like how you said earlier, like a quote unquote macho man or a really frilly girl, whatever you want to say, you know, they're expressions of who you are. You know, your gender is just the first part of you, if you think about it. Like the color of my skin, it's just the first part that you see. But I'm so much more than a woman. I'm so much more than a black woman. I'm so much more than a heavyset black woman. You know what I'm saying? I'm much more than that. You know, the more you get to know me, you start to see all these various facets about me, just like with you, Ellie, you know, just like with anyone else. So the gender is just a way to, you know, male or female, that's how God divides us. And then he puts beautiful paint on us, and then he gives us talents that we can express and use for his will. It really becomes quite simple, but then we complicate it. You know what I mean, Ellie?
Yeah.
We complicate it and make it different. So I'm glad for you really tackling this topic. I'm so glad for the frank conversation. And it's funny because you were just upset, and you said, someone should do something about this. And Laura said, there you are. And I remember Isaiah, when you hear my send me, I don't know if that was your first response, but eventually became your response. You know what I mean? Like,
no, my response was somebody else.
Yeah.
And God said, excuse me. So
yeah.
I finally
said you.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll give it a try. And you know,
yeah.
That's the thing. You step, think of Moses putting his foot in the water and the sea parts, you know? We've got to step into the water, take that
yeah.
first step.
Mm-hmm. And I love the illustration you just said, that step you put into the water. And it's funny because it's such a volatile topic. Like I said, people just really shied away from it in my experience over this topic. And I remember myself being nervous, not because of the topic itself. It's just how people can get so virulent, and then they start to call you names and get very confrontational and aggressive, and who do you think you are, and all that kind of stuff. I said, I don't think much, actually. It's what God says. And then they want to attack your belief system. And so it becomes this really ugly thing. So I'm glad that we're able to discuss it in truth and in love, because we're not being hateful. You never heard one thing of hate come from Ellie. You never heard one note of judgment. She was actually just giving you references to scientific facts, you know. And so that's why, if you don't believe us, do your own research. Just don't follow the rhetoric that media tends to put out there. And, Ellie, I don't know if you know about this, but I've been very critical of media because they only tell a biased story. And it's so difficult just to get real information so you can make your own determination. It's always a bias to it now, particularly with the media.
That's very true. And that's one reason because people are a little nervous about this subject, that's one reason it's slowly unpacked in the pages of a great story that's really fun to read. And the interactions of the kids And then another aspect of it comes out and they learn something else. But it's definitely more a fun book to read. And by the way, it does not just deal with transgender. There are other issues that are confronting young people and telling them, don't believe the Bible, don't believe your parents, come and believe us and believe the media. And those issues are drugs, global warming. Yes, even global warming. People told me, take those out of the book. And I said, and then God, my goodness, I talk about God in a few places. They said, don't have that in the book. The book will already get trashed for having your view of scientific gender instead of being more tolerant of everyone's view. And I said, no, kids need to know the dangers of drugs. And again, there are footnotes. Go look it up. Go look up the articles. Don't believe me. Look up what the CDC says. Look up what the other doctors say. And then there are references to global warming because we are being deceived by the media about this subject. God said as long until I come again, there will be, what, summer and winter and springtime and harvest?
Yeah, the seasons will never continue. And, yeah, we've talked about that many times on the show. I also have a scientific connection with the when it comes to the climate change and things of that nature, too. So I'm glad, Ellie, that you used the book.
But I have to tell you, I have a bit of Irish in me. And if you can read this book without bursting into laughter a few times, I will be surprised because the kids get into these arguments that are just crazy funny. And they're high school kids, so the conversation's fast. And one person told me, your grammar is terrible. You can't say like all the time. I said, have you listened to the high school kids? So every other sentence, you know, I don't want to go there. Like, I really want it. Don't want, you know, or whatever.
Yeah, like is very, even I use that sometimes, and I'm not as young as I used to be. So I totally understand you there, Ellie. So for those of you listening in, we are talking to Ellie Klipp. She is the author of the book Choosing Young Adult, which is available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. I know some of you may be listening and figure you didn't really talk about the book, more about talking about the subject, but the book is wrapped up in the subject. The subject's wrapped up in the book, so it was kind of impossible to separate them. But you got an idea what the book's about. It's coming from a young adult perspective about transgender, gender identity, gender expression, et cetera. And it's coming from a Christian worldview as well. And so go ahead and get your copy. For parents out there looking for resources to talk to your children about this, this is a book for you. And for those of you with younger children who may be being exposed to trans ideology, make sure you pick up I Don't Have to Choose. It's in several different languages that you can use to help this conversation. I hope our listeners pick up on the fact that this is something you cannot avoid. You cannot avoid it. People are throwing this into your child's faces. They're throwing it into your faces. You need to be equipped. You know, it's not how I feel about it. It's how God feels about it. And how I feel about it doesn't really matter. And one thing that Ellie said that I kind of simmer on a lot is that you can flavor your outside, but you're still biologically male or female, and that is extremely significant. And there's a wide variety of expression when it comes to gender. I like how she said that because, like she said, you may be a more macho man, or you may be a more artistic man, or more a sensitive, or whatever. It doesn't matter, you know. But that doesn't make you a woman. Just because you may be more sensitive, and if you tend to be more stoic or whatever, that doesn't make you a man. That's an expression of yourself. And then get this, you're more than just a woman. You're a child of the King who loves you, and that's even better than anything on the planet. That's better than anything. We're going to go ahead and take a fast break. When we come back, we're going to get our closing remarks from Ellie, and then we'll see you in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm influence categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at twotigersllc.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Had a wonderful time talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Ellie Clipp. She is the author of the book Choosing, which tackles the subject of transgender, gender identity, gender expression, and so much more in a young adult fiction book. It's also highlighted by footnotes at the end of the book so you, the reader, can go and do your own research. It's available on Amazon.com. And for parents looking for resources, I believe this book is for you, as well as her children's book called I Don't Have to Choose, available in several languages, Spanish, English, French, German, and now Chinese, available for you. So you can have a resource for you to talk to your children or even for your own peace of mind of what you want to talk about when it comes to this subject. Ellie, once again, thank you for being with us on this show. We talked about the book. It's available on Amazon. What are some of your last thoughts you want to say?
Well, I wanted to tell everyone that this book is highly endorsed by Dr. Gertella, head of the executive director of the American College of Pediatricians, Dr. Andre Van Mol, who is a medical doctor and an expert on teen sexuality, Dr. Laura Haynes, who is a renowned psychologist, Dr. Tim Clary, who is a geologist who checked the things that I had in there about creation. The endorsements are so good, and tell parents and teens you really should read this, that we hid them at the end of the book, because if you tell teens you should read this, they won't. And we had two teens, a boy and a girl, unrelated, read it beforehand to check for, whether or not teens would like the book, and they both did. So it was well vetted before it came out. And I think that one thing that's very important about it is it's a fun book to read. It is not preachy. It is not like a lecture. It's a book that you pick up and you keep saying, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen next to these kids? And so have fun with it. And you can get it on Amazon. Look up Ellie Clipp with a K, K-L-I-P-P as in pepper, or my website, ellieclipp.com. My website is going to be even better in about 2 weeks. So keep an eye out for it.
Ellie, thank you so much for being with us on the show. Thank you for obeying the call that God gave you. I always talk about on the show that you never know what's on the other side of obedience. And you can tell because the way this book got translated, the whole story is phenomenal. I mean, you only were just doing this because you wanted to combat what was going on in your area. And now look, 3 years later, you have another book out talking about this wonderful topic about transgender identity, about God's plan for us. I mean, this is so multifaceted. It's not just one thing, you know. And, you know, you obeyed. And that obedience may help someone who may be going through this. That obedience may bring light to someone because you were obedient, because you never know what's on the other side of obedience. Now, mind you, obedience has its own reward, but when it's triple-fold and quadrupled and goes all over the place, I mean, come on. You talk about in China,
China's huge right now. That's a huge state. Lots of people over there, you know. And they may be dealing, having these kind of questions as well. And you get for them, for German, for French, and Spanish. I mean, and then now you say you want to do something in Portuguese. So, hey, you know, it can happen when you're obedient. So thank you, Ellie, for being obedient. Thank you to our listeners who may not want to talk about the topic with us, but we're glad that you listened in. We want to thank you for listening in. I hope you come and approach this topic with an open mind. If you want to follow Ellie, you can follow her online at ellieklipp.com. That's ellieklipp, K-L-I-P-P.com. Ellie, thank you for being with us today. To our listeners, thank you so much. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at parkerjcole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.